When I was just a boy and I went to math class, and we learned addition and subtraction, and we learned multiplication and division. You know, that teacher expected us to get the right answer no matter what she was teaching. And she expected that all the students should learn how to do it and do it right, and figured that if they learned how to do those simple things, they'd all get the same answer to the same thing. And it seems to me that there's some value to saying some things like that. I think about the day of Pentecost, and whenever Peter preached, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And he can continue to exhort them. And the Bible says in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received the word," his word, "were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day 3,000 souls." Now there were 3,000 people who were there and who heard the same message, and they did the same thing. You see, the Bible can be understood alike when people really listen and really think about what is being said and pay attention. And I really think that one of the problems that we have in the world today is that not everybody pays attention. It's amazing how many times people want to be talking and rather than listening. They have something they want to share rather than hear. Sometimes I go to Bible classes, and the kind of class is where something comes up and everybody has their little piece, and there are questions that need to be settled from the Scriptures, and everybody said what they think, and at the end of it, nobody ever really brings out what does the Scripture say, and they walk away as ignorant as when they came. There have been classes like that. Now, God expects us to believe the same things. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, whenever Paul was writing to that church was kind of divided up. And you remember, he says in verse 10, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree." Yeah, you be of the same mind. "And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment." He wants us to agree. Don't you think when he says there's one gospel, he wants everybody to obey that one gospel? Or when he says there's one faith, that he wants people to believe that one faith? Or whenever he says there's one Lord, don't you think he wants everyone to recognize and to honor that one Lord? When he says there is one body, one kingdom, one family, one church, don't you think he wants everybody to be a part of that church, that family, that kingdom? You see, God is in the uniting business. His son Jesus, when he died on the cross, he didn't just die for the Jews, he also died for the Gentiles. And Ephesians chapter 2 talks about how he broke down that barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles by taking the law out of the way and establishing that new covenant under which we live now, so that people everywhere, all people everywhere, can come and be devoted to the same God. I'm thankful to serve a God that wants to unite people and not divide people, who wants to bring all people together and not to separate them. What kind of a God says, "Be of the same mind and of the same judgment," and then composes a Bible that says different things to different people? Well, that doesn't seem to make sense. If we say that God cannot communicate clearly enough for all people to understand, what are we saying about God? 1 Corinthians 14 says that God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. There's a lot to be said for the fact that God wants people to come together. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, that God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, now that knowledge of the truth is not everybody believe whatever you want. No, the knowledge of the truth is that one gospel, that one faith, that one truth that He came to give to us. That's what He wants all of us to understand so that we can be saved. You know, the truth does not contradict itself. If something is true, it doesn't contradict itself. It's not true one day and false the next day. It doesn't say one thing one time and says another thing another time. We live in a confused world where everybody wants to be talking, that everybody has their own agenda, where everybody has their own message. And it's an unfortunate thing that whenever you have a multitude of messages, you have a multitude of ideas that contradict one another. What we have to be able to do is come back to the Bible to see what does the Bible say. I believe the Bible is simple enough to be understood. Paul said in Ephesians 3 that when you read the things that I've written to you, you'll be able to understand my insight. And you know that's true. When we read, we will be able to do that. That's from Ephesians chapter 3 in the first 10 verses. Well, why do men differ in understanding the Bible? Well, one of the reasons is because people are lazy. Sometimes people think the Bible says something when it never says that. I remember one time when I lived in Newcastle, Oklahoma, back in the late 80s, that a lady's car broke down and she needs someone to give her a ride. And so we stopped and picked her up and gave her a ride to where she was going. And we were talking a little bit about who we were and what do you do. And I told her I was a preacher and I was a member of the Church of Christ. And we believe in that the Bible is true and that the person needs to repent and be baptized to be saved. And I talked about how that there is one way, that Jesus is the way to do things. And one of the things that she said was, after she heard what I was saying, was, well, my God would never do that. He would never condemn anybody if they didn't do things the way the Bible says. My God would never do that. And I looked at her and I said, well, ma'am, it may be that your God, the God that you think about, is not the God of the Bible. You know, there are a whole lot of people who imagine God to be a certain way, and they determine that everything in the Bible is according to the way that they see God. And they've never taken the time to study it out for themselves and to hear it. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, there Peter talks about Paul and all his letters, speaking in them about the things having to do with wisdom and salvation and other things. And he says, in which are some things that are hard to understand. Yeah, you got to think it through. Did not say it was impossible to understand, just that it would be demanding to understand. It would be hard. And then he says, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction. I can remember in the 80s whenever oil was a big deal and seemed like every preacher that was on the radio or TV or something was talking about how that the oil crisis was the main reason why the book of Revelation was written. Folks, there's nothing in the book of Revelation about the oil crisis in the Middle East. Not a single thing. And they would go on and talk about this and they would talk about that and they would find some passage and they would dream up what they thought it meant. And it had nothing to do with that, the unstable, the untaught. They are going to at times twist the Scriptures to try to make them mean something they don't mean. And so whenever he says to them about these people in the way that they did, verse 17 of 2 Peter 3, he says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, you be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. But you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We need to grow in our understanding of the Bible. We need to be Bible students. not just Bible readers, Bible students. And I want to challenge you that whenever you take a chapter that you're going to read, that you don't read it as quick as you can, and then when you're done, you shut your Bible and say, well, I read my chapter this week. No. You take the time to read it slowly. And I would suggest to you that in some cases, you read two or three chapters around it and get the context and try to find out who wrote it, why it was written. You know, most of you have study Bibles, and in those study Bibles, they have an introduction to every book of the Bible. It would do you well if you're going to read those chapters, to read those introductions, find out who is writing, to whom they're writing, when did they write it, why did they write it, and what are the special circumstances. You know, if you'll grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, unprincipled men won't fool you. You'll know what the Bible actually says. Don't depend on other people to do your Bible study for you. Now, it's nice to ask scholars like Dan and David and others, and they will teach you things that you might not have known before. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is do your work. Take notes. Read those passages a second, a third, even a fourth or fifth time so that you really understand what's being said in that passage. I really believe that one of the greatest problems in the church today, and the reason why so many people are bringing false doctrines in certain congregations, is because the people don't know the Bible like they used to know it. Hosea 4 and verse 6 says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected me, that is, you didn't read the Bible, didn't hear what God was saying, I will reject you. And he goes on further and he says, I will also reject your children. You know, if mom and daddy don't know the truth, it's very difficult for them to teach their children the truth. I really believe that the main reason why so many people differ is that somebody comes along and says, well, the Bible says this, and we don't have the critical thinking skills to know what the Bible says in other places. We don't always know how to answer them. Sometimes people just have personal prejudice. You know, there were some who said, I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Paul, and I have Christ. They have their favorites here and their favorites there, and they listen to their favorites rather than really study for themselves. And so Paul could say, is Christ divided? Paul wasn't crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, of course not. There's just one Jesus Christ, and He's the one that we always want to go to in His Word. In ancient times, there were people who were called Pharisees. And what you may not know about the Pharisees is they had two laws and not one. They had the written law, which they studied, but they also had what they called an oral law, an oral Torah. And they held that oral Torah, which was nothing but what somebody said long time ago, and they passed it down, and they passed it down, and they passed it down. And they were just sure it had to be true because their forefathers had told them that. Even though those laws were never written in the Scriptures, and they would say, oh, this goes all the way back to Moses. Well, none of it went back to Moses. But they had been hearing people say it for so long, they never questioned whether or not it was true. And they would take their oral law and make it even more important than what God actually said in the Bible. They would get rid of what's in the Bible in order to push their oral law. Let me give you some for instances. They were to keep the Sabbath day under Judaism. But they made all these laws. Why, if you had a chicken and that chicken laid an egg on the Sabbath day, you couldn't eat that egg. I didn't know the chicken was under the Sabbath law, but you could sell that egg to a Gentile. If somebody came to your house and they needed help, and they knocked on your door, you could help them if they stick their hand inside your door, but you couldn't help them if you had to stick your hand outside the door. Now, that was one of their laws. That's nowhere in the Bible. That's something they made up. There would be people who, whenever it was the Sabbath day, would turn the mirror and face the wall. Instead of out, they'd make sure that that mirror faced the wall. Why did they do that? Well, they would be afraid that somebody would come and look in that mirror, and maybe a woman would pluck a hair, or maybe a man would comb or something, and they would do some kind of work. If it was a Sabbath day and you had a pair of sandals, and those sandals were laced with leather, why, that would be okay. But if you had a pair of sandals that had iron nails putting it together, well, that iron, you're carrying iron, that's work. Do you see the inconsistency and the hypocrisy of that time? Matthew 23 talks about all of the inconsistencies they had. And it was because they didn't just listen to the Word of God, they had to bring something else into it. And all through the ages, there have been councils, and there have been creed books, and there have been conferences where people would make decisions about this or about that. Many denominational churches have people where people come together and they decide what they're going to believe whenever they vote on it. Let me tell you something. You can vote all day long, but you'll never outvote God. Amen. The things Jesus said in the first century are going to be true on the day of judgment. And what's been so interesting is through the years, people have had all kinds of voting. Well, we don't want to use the Bible as the final authority because some people have misused it. That is, they have used the Bible to thump others on the head. Well, that doesn't mean the Bible is not true. And Jesus said that His words would judge us on the last day. You see, it was our Lord Jesus who made it the final authority. But these people said, we don't want to do that. In that same convention, this was back, believe it or not, way back in the 80s, that same group of people decided that they would encourage their women to have abortions. They decided in that same convention that Jesus was not the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. And Acts 4:12 says there's no other way under heaven by which we must be saved. No other name except the name of Jesus. And yet they would have the audacity to say, well, Jesus is wrong and the apostles are wrong and we can make a law to change that. Well, whenever you do that, what do? You cause division. What do? You cause confusion. Confusion. And that's the kind of thing that we have in our world today because everybody wants to be speaking and nobody wants to be listening. In the book of John is, I think, a couple of places that I think were just really interesting. John chapter 7. And in verse 40 and 41, you have Jesus and He had talked about His being the way to heaven, the way for people to know the truth and to do what is right. And some of them, they weren't really willing to listen to what He had to say. And so they were disagreeing with Him. And one of the things that He said was, some of the individuals, after He talked about these things, verse 40 of chapter 7, some of the multitude, therefore, when they heard these words, were saying, well, this certainly is the prophet, that is the one who is the Messiah, the one that Moses spoke about in Deuteronomy 18. And others were saying, this is the Christ, the Messiah. And still others were saying, surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is He? Now, you know that Jesus was raised in Nazareth. But where was Jesus born?
Bethlehem.
See, they didn't ask enough questions, did they? He didn't come out of Galilee. He came out of Bethlehem. That's where he was born, in the city of David, Bethlehem of Judea, according to the prophecy of Micah 5 and verse 2. Bethlehem Ephrathah, that one from the ancient times would be born there that would rule the people. And you see, whenever you think about that, they were thinking, and they said, has not the Scripture said that the Christ would come from the offspring of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was? They knew the prophecy, but they didn't know enough about Jesus to know that's where He was born. The Bible says there was a division. You see, when people make assumptions about the Bible, when people put on rose-colored glasses and they see everything rose-colored, one of the shocking things that I've said to people was, you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the word grace is never on the lips of Jesus in any of those books. But the idea of repentance is there. The idea of truth is there. People want to talk about the grace of Jesus, and He was full of grace, John 1, verse 14. I'm not denying the grace of Jesus. I'm just saying that's not what He preached. That was not the word that He was using all the time. What was He preaching? Matthew 4, verse 17, when He went from village to village to village, He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The prodigal son is about repentance. Casting out an eye, plucking out an eye, cutting off a hand. Those are not really what He wants us to do. He wants us to repent and get rid of our sins. But you see, people take things and they make them into something that was never there. A little bit later on, there is the statement, and they were saying, well, the officers therefore came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to them, why did you not bring Him? And the officer said, well, never did a man speak this way. And the Pharisees therefore answered them and said, well, you've not also been led astray, have you? That is, by the words of Jesus. Not one of the rulers of the Pharisees has believed in Him, has he? It's almost like, well, whatever the Pharisee says, that must be right. Didn't matter that they were talking about the Son of God, that they thought they were more right, more correct than the Son of God. And there are times when people have a love for a preacher or a love for a school or a love for a group of people, and they have such a connection to those people that they would listen to them rather than listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Sometimes people don't think and reason very carefully. Sometimes people don't spend enough time to search out all that the Bible says on the topic. Sometimes people say, oh, you're saved by faith alone. The Bible never says we're saved by faith alone. We said we're saved by faith. But okay, if we're saved by faith alone, do you have to obey? If we're saved by faith alone, do you have to love the Lord? If we're saved by faith alone, Do you have to repent? Well, of course you have to love and repent. And of course you have to obey. But you see, whenever someone looks at Scripture and they take one little passage or one idea and they exclude all of the others, they lead people astray. And that's why we need to be people who study the Bible to get the whole truth, and not just something that is true here or true there. Well, these are many reasons why, and there are others that I didn't get to. But I hope you've understood a little bit of the main point. And that is study, study, study. And find out what the Word of God says. Find out the things that are important to know. Love the Lord. Love the truth, study the truth, share the truth. Share it, because there are others who need to know it too.